Hello, welcome back to the Sojo Show. This is Jen alongside AJ. Dum, dum, dum. And we have one final episode in our Praying the Promises of the Cross series. If you are listening to this relatively live, then it is the Monday before Easter. And we are going to be talking about a promise that is, I don't know. It's one. Let's just say that this particular verse, when people ask me, what is your favorite verse of the Bible? It's very hard to say a favorite verse, right? Very hard. But right now, in the point I am in my life, I would claim this verse as probably my favorite. And so we talk about all kinds of things. AJ, she is here with me. She's just not talking, but she gives... She gives this really interesting, and you're not going to want to miss it, answer to an opening question. It was a total surprise to me when it happened.
We're not going to spoil it for you. You're going to have to listen to see what my answer was. Honestly, Jen had to tell me because I didn't remember. Well, so there you go.
Yeah. So so here's the thing with this particular episode, the truth is really important. In this episode, it basically, if you are going through a difficult time, which all of us are at some point, if you are suffering, if you have ever experienced suffering in your life, if you feel the heaviness and the weight of pain, angst, suffering, this episode is for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love ending on this note because honestly, all of us need something to look forward to.
Yes.
You know, and the greatest promise that we have is that we have something to look forward to in Christ Jesus. We're going to stand in his presence one day. And all of our fears, all of our tears, all of the negative, all of our sin, like it's going to be gone. It's going to be in the past. And we have great hope because of that. And so this is just an excellent episode for us to close out the series on.
Yeah. And it is about hope. It is about hope. So we talk a lot about suffering on this podcast. We have several episodes on suffering. But the reason is because of the end product, and that is hope. And mm-hmm. So as we end this series, know that we are ending it on a hopeful note, on a high note. And no matter where you are right now, whether you feel like you're in a mountaintop or a valley, the end point is hope. And we are excited to share it with you.
Yes. So enjoy the listen today. And if we don't, I guess we won't talk to you before Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Welcome to the Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together. Hello, welcome to the Sojo Show, everyone. We are so glad you are here. I am sitting alongside
of the lovely,
of the lovely, the illustrious, Erica Joy.
Yes.
And my name is Jen Evangelista, by the way. And we are glad that you're here with us today.
We are super excited.
Yes, we are. We are wrapping up our series on Promises of the Cross.
Yes.
I so can't if you're that. Listening to us live, this is the week before Easter.
It is.
I didn't think about that when we chose this topic. It's good.
This is good. Like Holy Week.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is good. All right. So we are actually doing Promises of the Cross. We're finishing up Praying the Promises of the Cross challenge. We don't know what we're doing, but we do know that this is good.
This is good.
And today,
wherever we are, we're in the Bible. We're in the Word of God.
In the Word. We're in today.
Yes.
For sure. And we are going to be looking at, spoiler alert, probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible, if you're allowed to have favorites. But before...
Whoa! Okay, you just totally set the stage for that.
It probably is, seriously. I mean...
Okay.
Might be my favorite. Okay. So, AJ, I have a question first.
All right.
Tell us about a time where you have been so excited about something and so looking forward to something that you just anticipated it and just that feeling of anticipation.
Ooh. Okay. All right. So I hope my kids are not listening because if they are, then they're going to be super disappointed that it was not one of their births.
Do they listen?
No.
Okay, good.
So we're
mine don't either.
But like, honestly, it probably should be one of my kids' births or all of them. But it's not. It's not.
Mm.
The first thing.
Is it me? I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll include friends and family members as well.
Go ahead.
I hope friends and family members are not listening because they will be sorely disappointed as well. Okay. So the first thing that comes to mind is for weeks after I sat for the CPA exam, I anticipated getting the results in the mail. This was the day before.
Are you serious?
Online results. Yes.
Your answer is a test result?
Yes, because I spent 16 weeks every Saturday morning going up to prep course. And I had to get there early because I was the person that like prepared the coffee. So I had to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning every Saturday for 16 weeks and spend all day. I mean, you went to med school. You understand how this is.
I do, but...
And I worked so hard. I studied so hard and paid like $2,000 to take this prep course. And I felt really good after I took the exam. And I was so looking forward to the results. Like, that is probably the highest anticipation I've ever had in my life.
Wow. That is.
I know. Isn't that weird? I mean, it is a little weird.
That is not the answer I was expecting at all. That's okay. But that's good.
I mean, does it make me strange?
No, that was already, we already knew that.
Okay, well, that's good.
You know, I think we can all understand that feeling, right? Of anticipation.
Yes.
And whether it's something that we know is going to be good, whether it's something we don't know is going to be good, whether it's whatever.
Well, I hope your husband
doesn't listen either.
I know. Yes, he will be sorely disappointed as well because it was not our wedding. So whatever. But I get it. I think there's something to be said at looking towards something when there's like an element of sacrifice involved in it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Or pain.
I get it.
Or suffering.
Suffering.
You know? Suffering.
All right. I get it. I get the analogy. All right. That's good. All right. So why I'm asking this is because it kind of leads us into our promise for today.
All right.
Now, our promise is not actually specifically one of the ones in the Praying the Promises of the Cross, but it is a promise out of Romans 8. Mm-hmm. And it is, I don't know what we call it, the hope of glory maybe, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it. And this is in Romans 8. Actually, why don't you read it? I read last time. Romans 8, 18. We could actually do, so if you've done the study with us and we've gone from Romans 8, 18 to 25, because the whole bit kind of goes together. But I think Romans 8, 18 in particular is I'm not even kidding. If you can glimpse the truth of this, and I say this a lot, but it's true. If you can just like crack the door open to the beauty of the truth of this verse in the Bible, you will be transformed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, you're already transformed if you know Christ. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the way you view things that come against you in your life and your circumstances and your entire perspective on your earthly existence will be changed. So go ahead, read it for us.
All right. Verse 18 of Romans 8 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us."
Isn't that good?
That's really good.
Let's read it again.
That's really good. "For I consider," that means we really have to think about this. Mm-hmm. It's something we have to think about. "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us."
Yeah. And really, if we think about it, where was Paul at the time of this writing?
No. I mean, this is to the Romans. So
I'm
pretty sure he's
probably in prison.
Probably so.
Right. Or if he wasn't, he was at some point in prison. I mean, multiple times. The point was, this man suffered.
Yes.
He understood temporal suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And he is saying that what he suffered, you know, not only is it going to be worth it, or, you know, that my suffering's worth it, my suffering meant something. It was that he cannot compare. So the way I think of it is like this. If we look at our future hope, okay, the glory that will be revealed to us, think of how bright that's going to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just think of that as just being on the surface of the sun. It is so, so bright. Okay. So then our suffering would be comparable to, and I'm just making this up on the fly, so I don't even know. Our suffering could be comparable to, you know, a tiny little, what's dark? What's a tiny little bit of darkness? I don't know.
The flicker of the electricity going out at night, just going off and coming back on.
I mean, something that is just not even, it doesn't even.
It's not significant.
It doesn't even compare. It doesn't, there's no comparison. I tell you what it would be like. It would be like dumping a glass of water into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your suffering is the water in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
The glory that you will one day see is the ocean. And that is incredible. And then it goes on. And the reason that we talked about anticipation, because it does go on, it talks about creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay. And then if you skip down just a little bit in verse 23, it says, which I did not recommend you skip any of Romans chapter 8, but for time purposes, 23, it says, not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, last week we talked about adoption and how we are adopted into the family of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And this is, you know, saying, but even though we are adopted, we have not yet fully realized the potential that we will one day see, which is standing before God with Christ in glory.
Right. And this verse says redemption of our body. So we will have a redeemed body.
Yes.
We will have a form that is no longer subject to aches, pain, sin, all of the things that we're subject to now. We will be made perfect body, whatever that's going to look like, soul and spirit.
Right. Right. And what this says is all of creation is looking for that day.
Yes.
Is eagerly waiting. And we are also eagerly waiting for that day. And it's even in those verses that I skipped, creation is actually compared to the pains of childbirth, is groaning, the pains of childbirth. So we're thinking about childbirth and thinking about what thinking through in general, childbirth, especially back then, is very painful. And yet, of course, the end result is, I mean, you may not call your child glorious, but it's this beautiful ending.
Right.
Right. And so it makes the pain. How many of you who have given birth to actual children, I mean, years later, you don't remember that pain. You can, you know, you have a shadow of it.
You remember that it was painful, but it's not enough to keep you from trying for another one in most cases.
Right. And also it's just, it doesn't compare to the worth of having the child.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And so this analogy is really sweet, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think of this, and I think that, again, when we grab hold of this, it makes how we view our own suffering so different.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do we recognize that our suffering has a purpose. We've talked about that many times before, that it helps us to become more like Christ, but that it does not compare with what we're going to one day experience.
Right.
And go, our reward.
Yeah. And I think maybe even coming up with our own illustration of, okay, I went through something difficult to get to this result that I really wanted. I mean, even if it's something like running a marathon, you know, I went through however many miles of pain to get the experience of crossing the finish line. And it was worth it. Like I did that on purpose for this experience of finishing this race. And if we can have kind of that illustration in our own minds of saying, okay, heaven, even though I don't know fully what it's like, I do know enough about it and enough about Christ and the presence of God and who he is and being able to see him and be with him. I know enough to know that anything I have to go through here is does not even come close to comparing to the goodness of that moment.
Right.
That's helpful for us.
Yes, it's very helpful. And then also the other thing is going down to verses 24 and 25, which we haven't even gotten to. I don't even think we're supposed to get to it, but we did. I am now. Anyway, it says, in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is not seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So now we're talking about hope. So what we're seeing is that suffering produces hope, which points the world to Jesus. And if you switch over to Romans 5, 1 through 5, we're talking about, we did this a few weeks ago talking about having peace with God because we've been justified by faith. But if you keep going, it says, through him, we've also obtained access by faith into grace, which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this is the verse that's important. Well, all of them are important, but this is the point of ourselves thinking about. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given it to us. So what he's saying is not only do we grin and bear our suffering and know that, okay, well, the suffering doesn't compare for future glory. So I can handle it. I can just deal with it. I can suffer because I know that it's going to be a glass of water in an ocean of glory. I know this. Not only that though, but there's a purpose for that suffering, mm-hmm. as I mentioned earlier, and that suffering produces this very hope that Paul's talking about here.
Right.
It produces endurance, which right. produces hope.
Right.
And that is what we get. And that's when we get to look to that glorious light, the sun, the ocean, whatever analogy you think about, mm-hmm. is because of the hope that we have been given. And that hope has been produced in us because of the suffering that we endured.
Right.
Had
right.
we not endured the suffering, would we have the hope?
Right. We would not.
That's what the Bible clearly says.
We would not be looking forward. But as it is, we are looking forward. And part of the reason is because of those very suffering. So, I mean, it all works.
And it makes us not appreciate our suffering, not be glad for it. Although he does rejoice in it, he says.
Right.
You know, we can rejoice in it, not because of it.
Right.
There's a difference.
Or for it, you know.
Not be glad for it, because right. we're not.
But be glad in it.
But we can still have joy in it because we yes. know what's happening mm-hmm. is it's producing in us this character.
Yeah.
Endurance, character, and hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot to be said about this. I do want to read this quote because okay. I think Go this ahead. Is really, this gave me perspective when I read it. So this is a quote by Randy Alcorn. He said, "To him who lays up treasures on earth, death is a loss. He who lays up treasures in heaven looks forward to eternity. He is daily moving towards his treasure. Mm-hmm. To him, death is gain. He who spends his life moving towards his treasure has reason to rejoice. Are you despairing or rejoicing?"
Mm.
That's good.
That is good. And thinking about it practically, that is so true.
Yeah, it is.
It is so true. How many of us store up our things here and we care? Yeah. And in the moment, we care about what we have here. And yes, we need to be, mm-hmm. we need to be good stewards of what we've been given here on this earth. But we don't need to hold on to it with a grasp that prevents us from looking
well. And forward. And it's not even just what we have here, but like the experiences we have.
Yeah.
Do we have comfort? Right. Like right. we want comfort. We want everything to be okay. We want relationships right. to go smoothly. We want an easy life.
Well, you know? And even the fear of death.
Right. Yeah.
Going right back to that.
Yeah.
So that reminds me that's interesting. Okay. So that reminds me, I had a conversation with a friend of mine. We were studying last month in our Wednesday night kind of services, my son's teaching a series on eschatology. So the end times, basically, and all the different views of it. And my friend and I, she's actually my age, and we were talking about how when we were younger, and kind of remembering this, and some of you are probably in this spot, You may be kind of over this, but I remember thinking, oh, I don't want like Jesus to come back.
Right.
I don't want to die until I die this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are building up our treasures here on earth.
Yeah.
I want to have children. I want to get married. I want to watch them grow up. I want to have grandchildren. You know, we think all these things. And then we finally come to a point, I think, in just recognizing our humanity, our frailty, and more importantly, God's
treasuring
goodness,
Christ. Yeah,
and his grace, that we can come to a point to say, there is nothing that I am looking forward to on this earth that compares to what I will one day have. So I think this also helps us in when we're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I actually think this when we're grieving believers, those that are believers, you know, it helps us two things with that. It helps us when we're grieving those that we love who are believers, because we now know that everything they suffered, everything good they had, nothing compares to what they are now experiencing. And and we could have the whole conversation about, you know, where that falls in the millennium and all the things. But the bottom line is they are, you know, they're with God. Okay. So that's one thing. But on the other hand, for the non-believer, it should make us on fire to teach and show and preach, and I use that in quotes, to share the gospel and this good news, because they have their treasures and their death is lost.
That's right.
It is lost because they will not see this glory.
That's right.
And when we study these things for ourselves and kind of understand where we fall in this, our hearts should break for those who do not have this hope of glory.
That's right.
And in doing so, we should be striving and praying and doing all that we can do to show them the beauty of the cross.
Right. Amen. Amen. And living out the joy of each day getting closer to that treasure. Like each day, like this quote says, we are moving towards the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
The culmination of everything we've been given in Christ.
To live is Christ. To die is gain.
To die is gain.
To die is
gain. It really is.
And guys, you don't have to be scared of death. We don't have to fear it when you are in Christ. And if you are not trusting in Christ, look to him. He is the God who saves. You are not beyond his mighty hand to save. You are not, I do not care what you have done. Maybe you're listening just because you're curious. Maybe you're just interested. Maybe it's Easter week and you feel like you need to listen to something that has to do with the Bible or the cross or Christ or the gospel. And maybe you've never truly, truly experienced this, but I will tell you, nothing you have done is outside of what God can save.
That's right.
Because we have a God that is way bigger than your sin. His grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. And you just have to trust in that, trust in his work on the cross. And you too will become adopted as a child of God, like we talked about last week. And you will be able to look for this hope of glory. Nothing, knowing nothing on this earth, good, bad, or otherwise, will compare with what you will one day see.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we can live our lives here on earth with a kind of blinders on to everything that's going on around us. To some extent, like those difficulties that crouch in upon us, because we can be focused on that eternal home and that eternal glory that nothing on this earth compares with.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a great perspective to have.
Yes, absolutely. We're sojourners on this earth.
Yes.
This is not our final home.
You said that. Amen.
We have to, but our purpose, the reason God kept us here, the reason he didn't save us and take us straight to his side is so that we can display the glory of the gospel.
Yep. And this is our chance to do it.
Let's
ladies
do it.
And gentlemen.
Let's do it. If you're listening to us live, this is Holy Week. This is Easter week. Invite someone to church with you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Show up at church, invite somebody to go with you.
That's right.
And you know, and build a relationship with someone who is not a believer, or you don't know if where they stand, and allow the Holy Spirit to kind of guide you in your conversations, because he will, he will. Mm-hmm. And be encouraged as you're listening to this, that Christ died for your sins. He was resurrected.
you can now stand before a holy God, righteous because of him.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Okay. So we are starting something new-ish next week. It's a similar theme. If you're in Sojo Academy, you know that we are studying. We're still in Romans 8, but we are doing something kind of cool and different.
We are doing something really interesting. I know. We're going on a treasure hunt.
We are.
We are hunting the Old Testament.
We are proving, not proving, this is not for us to prove, but we are showing once again how all of the Bible points to Christ.
Yes.
All of the Bible, even those Old Testament stories that you used to listen to in Sunday school. It all is about Christ. And so it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun little adventure. We're looking forward to it. We hope you come back for it.
Yes. And we will see you then.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's AJ here with a personal question. Do you ever long to connect with other women over God's word? If so, I'd like to personally invite you to be part of our online Bible study community. Sojo Academy is where Jen and I meet via Zoom every week with our global community to discuss God's word, pray, and share what we are learning with each other. In Sojo Academy, you'll get a fresh Bible study every month, as well as weekly meetups, Bible journaling kits, accountability, community, and an entire library of workshops and Bible study tutorials. Jumpstart your walk with God and come hang out with us live this week. Visit sojoacademy.com and we'll see you inside.